Hey, this is Susie Larson. If you don't have time to listen to the full podcast, here's a highlight from today's show.
At times for the healing to begin, we may need to revisit some of the scenarios of our past. That's way different than dwelling and not letting go of the past. It's kind of unearthing the lies maybe that we've been carrying with us, isn't it?
Yes, yes. You know, God takes us back to those places sometimes so that we get a different perspective. You know, there have been things in my life that were felt one way when they occurred. And then later in life, as I look back on them, they were so diminished. It was like, why was that such a huge, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We can really blow some stuff up, and God will say, no, take a look again. Like the man that he led outside of the village who was having problems seeing, and said that he spit on the man. He didn't even see it coming, you know. There's a shock value of when we're first rocked by an offense or something that happens in our life. And he applied the spit to the man's eyes, and he rubbed on it, and he said, what do you see? And the man squinted and said, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. Oh, how much had he magnified people, you know?
Hmm.
And so Jesus had to then touch his eyes again and say, now, what do you see? And the scripture goes on to tell us that then the man saw clearly. So sometimes we need to revisit so that we can see clearly what happened, perhaps what our part was in it, or the perverted view we had of what the other person did, or perhaps rights that we did not release at that time, or perhaps revisit simply to forgive.
Hmm.
Sometimes we revisit after God has healed our hearts. We go back and we get that person who hurt us or offended us, and they get to see a new side of ourselves that leads them to Christ. So God uses those revisitations for many different reasons. We simply have to be willing to go.
And to go with him. You know, I think of the times that he held my hand and we, you know, looked again at a picture. Like you said, it was like a wound that was infected, you know, and he said that this is not going to go away until you uproot this thorn, this thing, this lie. And it's amazing when I see that painful memory redemptively, that he was always there. Because we pick up lies when life lets us down, and we somehow, God loves us too much to let us carry those things around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love this statement from your book. I'm going to read it and have you comment on it. It says, pain is best treated as a friend. God gave us the ability to feel pain because it lets us know there's a problem, and it forces us to deal with what is wrong or what we've buried, overlooked, or refused to surrender to God. And so with this whole idea of revisiting our past, of looking at this pain, again, sometimes I think we medicate, we sidestep, we do whatever we can do to kind of numb that pain, but it really is something to provoke us to healing, isn't it?
It really is. I tell people all the time, you know, why do you go to the doctor if you're not going for a regular checkup? You go because pain is indicating something is wrong beneath the surface. Something is wrong in the system.
Mm.
And when you go to the doctor, if he can't find out what it is from a first surface check, then he goes deeper. He does that x-ray. If the x-ray doesn't get it, he does the MRI or the ultrasound. But, you know, our pain is the fruit of the issue, not the root. So we need to really pay attention to pain, listen to it instead of running from it, so that we can get healing all the way down to the root.
Oh, that's so good. Well, our time is almost up, and the time has gone so fast.
It has.
Isn't it? It's been a great conversation, but I don't want to leave our conversation without talking about how we perceive the Lord amidst our disappointments. You do cover that in the book, and I think it's so critical, because if the goodness of God is up for grabs, if the love of the Father is up for grabs, if it's a movable element in our life, we are prime targets for that enemy to be asking the question, did God really say? Do you really think he's going to show up? So make the case for perceiving the Lord in his rightful way amidst these disappointments.
You know, there's a good illustration for that of the master and the three servants. Two anticipated the goodness of the master and invested what the master gave them very wisely. But the third one had a different view of the master and didn't do anything with the gift he had been given, and therefore it ended up being taken away. Is God good or not? We all have to settle this question in our hearts at the end of the day when we're going through things. If we believe he's good, we'll have a different view of what his intentions are towards us during the midst of the struggle and the disappointment, which will ultimately shape our response to that, which has everything to do with the outcome. So it's very, very important to settle your heart that no matter what you're going through, God is good. He loves you, and he has only the best of intentions towards you.